This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. It is 8:08 on your Wednesday morning. We're glad you're with us. The 11th day of December, starting to feel a bit more like it outside. A little frost when I headed out the door this morning. And apparently it's only going to get worse.
It's beginning to feel, actually look a lot like Christmas. I'll just say feel a lot like Christmas.
We don't want it to be 60 on Christmas Day. Well, some of us do. But, yeah, we're going to feel it heading into the week, it looks like. So the weekend's going to not be particularly nice either. So hopefully you got everything out of your system last weekend, I hope. Anyway, all right, coming up, we're going to talk to Mark Harder, County Councilman. This hour, there is a debate raging in general over who should replace Wesley Bell. The governor thinks he's got the right to do it. Obviously, Sam Page thinks he's got the right to do it. He's tried to do it anyway and already given the guy an office over there in the county building. But now the county council is going, whoa, you need to put the brakes on this. You don't have the advice or consent of county council. You can't do it. So Page is being hit from several different directions this morning. We'll get Mark's take on it coming up here in a few minutes. Taylor Riggs at the bottom of the hour, 8:35. Some big financial reports due out this morning, I believe, on inflation. We will get to her on that at the bottom of the hour, I promise. But first, Carl Middleman, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Screaming at me, that is your First Amendment right. Throwing mason jars through my window and vandalizing my property and terrorizing my children is not your right.
Yeah, that's a university regent saying he's been targeted by pro-Palestinian activists just because he happens to be Jewish. Anti-Semitism on United States campuses. No surprise.
I'm not a confrontational person. I don't really extend myself. I think this type of thing is very uncomfortable. All this attention and limelight is very uncomfortable.
Yeah, Daniel Penny, American hero. Right there he is, ladies and gentlemen. Acquitted in New York and still taking grief from the crazies out there who think that he did something wrong. It's insane.
So I was there on the beach and I talked to several people. One of their 47-foot boats was trailed very closely by more than a dozen of these drones.
Yeah, I've heard these stories. We're getting a lot of reaction from it, and we're going to talk more about it here in a minute. But why are we allowing Coast Guard ships to be followed by drones who we don't know who they belong to? That seems like a really legitimate question.
Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who.
Wow, how about that? You know what that means? We're giving away some tickets to see Styx. And how do you pronounce this other guy's name, Kim?
Kevin Cronin.
Kevin Cronin. Not Cronin.
Whatever.
I'm just teasing you.
You guys are the worst.
We were giving Kim a little bit of grief about that. She's unfamiliar with both of these bands. But
no, wait. I've heard of Styx. Kevin Cronin,
but
never
you've
heard of
him. Not heard of REO Speedwagon?
No.
Okay. All right, that's
do you
okay.
know this song?
Yes.
Then you've heard of REO Speedwagon.
I'm not good with band names, artist names.
Particularly when they're
lyrics.
Really old. Because this is old. That's okay. By the way, why don't we just keep following the date here since we're early in the month? And the 11th caller to 314-241-9797 will win a pair of tickets to see this concert. It is coming up August 22nd out at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. And I believe tickets go on sale Friday.
I believe that is correct.
I believe that to be the case. 10. So you're getting to win a pair before they actually go on sale.
And we should tell people that this year, when it opened up as Riverport, you had to pay to park. And then for many years, they included that in the ticket prices. Now you have to pay to park again, but the ticket prices are going to be lower and reflect
to compensate.
Yes.
Did we say Gino from St. Louis won yesterday, by the way? Shout out to Gino.
That? Yeah, I think I mentioned
it
at some point.
Well, because there is one price you can buy the parking pass when you buy your
VIP
tickets.
Parking,
no,
right?
When you buy your tickets, Or you can pay day of.
Which is more.
So if you're going to go to the show, buy your parking when you buy your tickets.
So what you're saying is, Carl, you're suggesting there will be no difference in price. It's they're going to lower the concert price ticket to accommodate the parking.
Correct.
But they wouldn't be doing this if they weren't making money on it.
They're counting on people to forget to buy the parking.
Here's my take on this whole thing, because I know you're truly interested in what that is. having been to Hollywood Casino Amphitheater, Riverport, many, 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 many times, if they're going to charge me to park in that mess out there, they better figure out how to get me out of there in less than an hour and a half after a concert.
Or the Uber.
Or
Lyft
what?
People
you turn into Karen Cox?
Yes. I'm sorry. It's already a nightmare to park out there because it takes so long to get back out after a huge concert.
Yes.
You're going to inflict pain on me by charging me to sit in traffic for an hour and a half.
And I think this is also encouraging, as our buddy Tom, happy birthday Tom, said, they're only charging the driver, so this will encourage people to carpool as well. So there will be fewer cars.
I doubt that for some reason. Maybe.
Well, because climate change, right? We have to have fewer cars on the road unless they're electric.
Or you can go next door and park at Hollywood Casino and then line up halfway around the building in hopes of getting a shuttle over there.
Okay.
Which is what happened to me at the Sammy Hagar concert.
My husband just texted me. He goes, never heard of REO Speedwagon?
He's mad at you.
I said no. And he goes, we're going to have a cultural awareness month for Kim St. Ange.
He's already started. He's got you watching Gladiator.
Yeah, I gave into that, and I ended up really liking it. I'd seen parts of it, but I don't think I'd ever actually sat through the whole movie, because isn't it kind of long?
Yes.
And I loved
Best
it.
Picture
and I even told him
law.
I'd go see Gladiator 2 with him. Wife points. I'm just saying.
Now watch Die Hard.
Well, yeah, maybe. Let's not get carried away, you guys.
Way to go, Michael. We appreciate it. Keeping her on the straight and narrow there. Anyway, good luck to you. We'll give away another pair of tickets Thursday and Friday, so hope you win.
We'll play sticks tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll play some more sticks for you tomorrow. We'll get Kim wanting to go out and download the album. What do you think?
I'll be waiting to buy a $50 t-shirt.
Yeah, no kidding. I did that recently.
I know what you're getting for your birthday.
That's right. All right, coming up, I mentioned we're going to talk to Mark Harder. He's obviously a county council member in St. Louis County. But if you think this is a partisan issue, it's not, because Shalonda Webb, as a Democrat, is also applying the brakes to Sam Page wanting to move ahead and install Court Van Osteren as the next St. Louis County prosecuting attorney. We'll break it all down for you right after the break.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential. And the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, and durable details, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Code CLASSIC24.
Capturing the saga over appointing a new St. Louis County prosecutor.
Yeah, you'll remember the current prosecutor, Wesley Bell. He heads to Washington in just a few weeks after winning Missouri's first congressional district seat by voters in November. But now there's a battle heading to the courts for who appoints his replacement between County Executive Sam Page and Missouri Governor Mike Parson to make that decision.
And that's not all, because in addition to a dispute with the governor, Sam Page is now in a dispute with county council. We've got County Councilman Mark Harder from District 7. I got him out of bed this morning early just to do this interview. Mark, good morning to you.
Hey, Mark. This is Kim. How you doing? I'm glad you guys were able to get me in on today's show. But this has been a crazy bunch of days. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
When we think things are going to get straightened out, we just get sucked back into these things.
So tell me the dispute right now. I saw a little bit of the story there on Channel 4, and you had mentioned to me that you got Shalonda Webb, who's a Democrat, who's also pushing back on the fact that Sam Page has already put in office space, right, for Court Van Osteren to basically assume his job duties without ever asking what the council thought about it.
Right. Right. So that's been reported that they've given him space over in the public in the prosecuting attorney's office. And, he's showing up in a transition mode and that's in air quotes. And so we're going to look into see if he's even being paid or if he has a security badge or not. I mean, this whole thing has just gotten out of hand, and we found out about this last night just before our meeting, and we decided to take that opportunity to blast the county executive at the meeting about this this crazy decision to appoint somebody when he has no authority to do that. We don't even have a vacancy. I mean, Wesley Bell's still the prosecuting attorney. So until he resigns, we don't even have a vacancy. And at time of vacancy, then we can start vetting a new prosecuting attorney. But until then, everything should be business as usual. And it's not in St. Louis County.
That was my question. Was it sounds like Page wants to have you guys confirm Van Ostrand now so he can begin as kind of his interim. What would the typical timeline be that right after Bell resigns, that basically that next county council meeting, you guys would be discussing this and potentially confirming the pick? Or how is this going to go down? Because the governor now is arguing, no, I have the authority to make this pick.
Right. So, you know, once there's a vacancy, our charter is very specific on how this works. When there's a vacancy, then we will discuss and have a meeting, and it will be a public meeting so that all can hear and the media can hear of our vetting of any candidate, whether it's this candidate or anybody else. And then we will vote on who we think would be the best fit for this position. And until there's a vacancy, none of that process can start. But the county executive has chosen to put the cart before the horse and jumpstart this whole process when he doesn't have the authority to do that. So he's just made it very complicated, and it's going to probably involve the council going to court against the county executive on procedural issues when it comes to this. So, you know, we voted in November to hire give the council the ability to hire an attorney. Well, this is the kind of stuff that we run into every day, and a lot of people out there don't understand what we run into when we're trying to go after somebody like this and change a situation like this. So now we have the authority to hire our own attorney, and we'll have to do that and spend money that we don't need to spend and we don't have to spend to fight this when he could have just, you know, laid low and been patient, and we would have gotten to this whole process in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
But he decided to stir this up today.
County Councilman Mark Harder with us this morning from District 7. And, you know, I have to ask, Mark, what's your position on whether Sam Page and the council or Governor Parson have the authority here?
Well, our charter is very specific on how this works, and it's in Section 5.05, I believe. And it says exactly how this happens. Now, the thing is, it's been in our charter since the 70s on how this works. I tend to disagree with the governor on this because we have some certain rights as one of the five charter counties in the state that we can, you know, make our own rules when it comes to this kind of thing. And it's been like this way at least since the 70s. So, but this is the first time it's been tested. And so it's going to be up to interpretation, and this whole thing will go before a judge at some point in time, most likely. That will be the biggest delay if Page is trying to push this through fast. That's going to be the biggest delay is going to court over the issue between Page and the governor and now the council and Page. So it's probably going to be some kind of three-way hearing.
It would strike me that Mr. Van Ostrand might have resigned his other job a little preemptively, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've said that before. I mean, it was very presumptuous of him to do that, and he's played this out as well and has been complicit in this whole thing and has decided and has told people in the media and otherwise that he's the person, and it's just, you know, formality kind of thing. And this is more than a formality. This is one of the most important jobs in the region, and we've got to do it right, and we've got to make sure we've got somebody that has the ability to prosecute crime, and violent crime, especially in our community, and to make sure that that we have a safe place to live. And unfortunately, we've had a prosecuting attorney that has done otherwise, and we need to clean the slate here and start over with somebody that actually prosecutes crime in St. Louis County.
Well, Mark Carter, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yep, talk to you soon. Good to get Mark on this morning. Coming up, we'll get to Taylor Riggs on the big economic numbers out today.
First off, what Alon and Vivek are going to do is basically what I did when I became governor of Florida. I reduced the regulatory environment. That actually is going to have a bigger impact on job creation, business success, things like that, than anything else we do. Taxes are important, fees are important, but actually the cost of the regulation. Just in Biden's 4 years, the cost of federal regulation has gone up by something like $2.6 trillion. We only have a $28 trillion economy. So number one is we're going to reduce the regulatory environment. We're going to make it easier to get permits.
Rick Scott, the senator there from Florida, talking about what DOGE might do to the economy, and businesses have got to be looking forward to that. Let's get to Taylor Riggs, host of the Big Money Show on the Fox Business Network. And Taylor, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You know, I know Donald Trump was really focused on cutting regulations when he was in office the first time. I guess a lot of that got reversed. A lot of damage was done during 4 years of the Biden administration.
Yeah. Can't you feel it? Can't you feel the businesses feeling like things just got difficult, right? And that is why you're seeing a huge reversal in business optimism, even though Trump hasn't even taken office yet. I was so fascinated. Maybe I've told you this story before. I was speaking to a really famous restaurant owner. He said the day after the election, his sales doubled. Nothing changed the day after the election, except that businesses and people feel excited again. So you have a lot to do, of course, until we get to January 20th. But already, just the policies that we're expecting, cutting regulation, this is just an overall better business environment. And so businesses are really excited.
Well, I think what's frustrating is you now have some businesses that are trying to scare the public because they're telling everybody, well, you know, these Trump tariffs, he's going to put them in place day one. And so you better start buying up anything you need now. You should get it because we're going to have to raise prices on you. When really, there's no evidence that that is for sure going to happen.
I mean, if you think inflation's going to get worse than what it's already been, this is Wednesday morning. We got the inflation data this morning. Inflation is still up 21% in the last 4 years. And it's hard to imagine a scenario where inflation is going to get worse, where prices are going to go up higher. Now, look, Trump has repeatedly said tariffs are a negotiating tool. So if we slap 100% tariffs on everyone, sure, I could argue, as most economists would, prices probably will go up. But he's not doing that. These are a negotiating tool with Mexico to close the border, a negotiating tool with Canada to close the border. And the minute he threatens these negotiating tools, both of those presidents have picked up the phone and called him wanting to make a deal.
Yeah.
This is why we call him the art of the deal. There's also sort of, if there are going to be some tariffs, which there probably will be from China because they don't play fairly and they're undercutting our middle class, we can offset those higher prices with growth. When you cut regulation, when you cut all of the extra taxes, growth can overcompensate for any increase that you'll see in prices from tariffs. It's a balancing act. I think the problem in the last 4 years is you had higher prices and more spending, but you also had massive regulation where the economy also wasn't really growing and wages were not keeping up with inflation. If we get the tax cut, if we cut growth, if we bring energy costs down, that will more than compensate for any increase that we might see from tariffs if we hit them on with China.
Yeah. Oh,
I also want to note, Biden never reversed the tariffs from China. He kept saying they were so bad. If they were so bad, why didn't he reverse the Trump 1.0 policy? He didn't, because they're working. So some of the things that they complain about, they've actually kept in place the last 4 years.
It's true. We're talking to Taylor Riggs from the Fox Business Network. Taylor, I saw this quote from Trump on Truth Social, and I had to go back and find it. So he tweeted this out yesterday. He's made a lot of additional appointments since yesterday. Kimberly Guilfoyle, Ed Martin, all these people are getting positions now in his administration. But before he announced all that, he tweeted this out. And to me, it's just an example of how
Trump is just a game changer. This is what he tweeted yesterday. I shouldn't say tweeted. He truthed yesterday. Any person or company investing $1 billion or more in the U.S. will receive fully expedited approvals and permits, including but in no way limited to all environmental approvals. Get ready to rock in all caps.
Yeah, get ready to rock, also in all caps. So I don't have any inside knowledge on the details of this.
Yeah.
I don't know what a $1 billion investment means, what the requirements are. Does that mean you have to hire employees? Does that mean you have to invest in a plant? You know, we don't know that. But clearly he has something on his mind where he's thinking about, if you come back to America, you get special treatment.
Yes.
You get to play by the fun rules if you promise to hire in America, to build in America, to make in America. So again, I don't know the specifics around that thing, but it speaks to exactly, you know, the mandate that he was given, frankly, by 75 million voters who said, yes, I am sick of being screwed by China and Mexico. I want to come back to America. And if you do, you get to play by a fun set of rules that includes expedited permits to, again, get government out of the way. Everyone I talked to, I mean, we've talked about, and I'll take a little bit of a tangent here, with the SEC chair, for example, Gary Gensler.
Right.
Everyone I've spoken to said anyone is better than him because he put up roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. We couldn't get anything done, and it just stalled business. So Trump is thinking similarly, right? If you cut regulation, people can just make business decisions and invest and grow, hire and move forward.
You know, I don't want to gloss this over, but I know some CPI numbers came out today. What does that show?
We still have a lot of work to do. That's what it is, my takeaway. Inflation is moving sideways. It's not coming down. So for me, that's a big problem. We have a Federal Reserve meeting next Wednesday where they've talked a lot about cutting interest rates. I know that the president wants low interest rates because it reduces all of our costs. But I don't know how this Federal Reserve, after doing an emergency double cut a few months ago, can now come in and cut again when their fight against inflation is not over. So unfortunately, the Biden policies, we are still reeling from them. I want inflation to come down, not move sideways.
Taylor,
we're not seeing that. So we have some work to do.
I know we're running out of time, but we can't let you go without asking how your marathon went. Didn't you run one over the weekend?
You're so sweet. You know, it was great. I did a marathon on Saturday down in Memphis, Tennessee, hard. Every time I have a child or I get a little bit older, these marathons feel a little bit harder, but it was still a great experience.
I'll bet, like an ice bath. Do you do the ice bath thing afterwards? Because some people do, some people don't. Does it help?
Nope, I just lay down in my bed.
I can support
and
that.
And relax. No kidding. Good for you. Should I ask what your time was? Are you willing to share that with the people?
You know, worse than it's ever been. Faster than when I ran when I was 19 weeks pregnant with my daughter.
Well, that's great, though. That's an accomplishment. Good for you.
It's an accomplishment to run a marathon
period.
I ran a half, and that was very hard.
Yeah.
Oh, Taylor. Well, hey, I beat the guy on the couch.
Yeah, there you go. Congratulations and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon, Taylor. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, bye. Yeah, she's so nice. I love getting her on here. She can talk about anything.
That is really nice.
You can't throw her a curve.
No, nothing is off limits.
No.
And it's like she's read up on every topic we could. I feel like I could ask her about, like, I'm trying to think of a really random topic, like something about pickles, and she would have all these studies
probably
that she knows about pickles.
Yeah, absolutely. Over prepared at all times. I love that. I love that. All right, we're going to get to a quick break here. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Here is a novel idea for the mayor and the Board of Aldermen. If you want to bring people back to the city instead of building them a house or giving them college tuition assistance, why not spread some of that money to the police department and make them feel safer? Just seems like that would be a better use of some of the money, but that's just me.
Yeah, caller there from the caller line on the Odyssey app.
Thanks,
who was
Jack.
It? That was Jack. We appreciate your call, Jack. You know, I was going to mention this earlier, and I just hadn't managed to get around to it yet, but I had replied to, in fact, to a tweet earlier about this very subject, because yesterday the city announced that it was going to extend the rest of the Rams settlement money, right? And then they passed a board bill spending the rest of the ARPA money, like they're trying to get it all out the door before Donald Trump gets into office and maybe can try to claw some of it back. I don't know. But the only thing they're spending a dime of any of that money on, and I'm going to speculate that it's a couple hundred million dollars. There's a lot of money left, right, between the Rams settlement and the ARPA funds that were sent here by the government for COVID relief, right? The only thing close to public safety is the dispatch center or something. They're going to spend some money on a new dispatch center to take calls. And we're down 300-plus police officers in the St. Louis Metropolitan PD, and the city poor mouths all the time. They don't have enough tax money, and they're handing it out to political constituents. That's exactly what's happened here. Mark Maxwell, one of the reporters over at Channel 5, texted this out yesterday. Jones and Green, so the mayor and the comptroller, plan to spend the $277 million share of the Rams settlement money on the water department, streets and sidewalks, child care, $37 million on child care, youth opportunities, city workers, I guess pay raises, I don't know, housing, $70 million, and neighborhoods, $30 million. Not a dime to the police department.
They're hoping,
none of it.
They're hoping they're going to incentivize families to move back to the city if they offer city residents who have graduated from high school some college tuition money, some assistance.
They don't wrap their brain around the fact that people have a public safety conclusion they've reached about the city. Now, whether it's perception or reality, you can argue, and they'll always come out and tell you, well, the stats are down. The crime stats are, look what we've done to crime. Well, you've released half the criminals out of the workhouse who never even got to trial, or Kim Gardner screwed the pooch on that one, and they're back on the streets committing crimes.
CJC is an absolute disaster in downtown St. Louis, the city justice center.
Yeah, it's crazy. Jane Duker replied to my tweet there back at Mark Maxwell, pointing out that not a dime of this is going for public safety. She said, but you know who will profit the most? The nonprofit industrial complex where all of these progressives work. They generate work for themselves at the expense of the people. She's absolutely right. If you're a city resident, you've been sold out by your city leaders. You've been sold out. They're never going to address the issue because their crazy leftists who control them are all in on social justice and criminal justice reform. They don't call it that anymore because they know it has a negative complex in even using the word. It's a stereotype. If you say criminal justice reform, they think of Kim Gardner. So they're not going to call it that, but they're still not spending any money on locking these criminals up and making sure the judges are holding them accountable. And having enough police on the street so that if somebody gets the flu or whatever affected me the past week, they can't even fill the position. They got people working overtime trying to keep some of these different districts operating.
I hope some of these reporters ask Tashar Jones and Megan Green these questions because they're having a press conference this morning. You want to incentivize people, you got to incentivize them to stay, not get the benefits you want to offer them for a year and then get the heck out and go back to the county.
Bingo. Maybe some accidental journalism will happen today, Kim.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
It's possible. Stay tuned. We'll cover it for you tomorrow morning if it actually happens. Kilmeade's up next, then Annie and Mark. We'll be back at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Get more at 971talk.com.